Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are getting into the health of the South African household, the South African consumer, ongoing conversations around consumer pressure, something that it feels like this point we've been talking about ad nauseum. And, for today, we are just going to be checking in with the team from Altron FinTech. They have their Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index, otherwise known as the AFRI, and we've got some results that are released this week, giving us some insight for the third quarter of 2024, confirming the continued financial pressure on South African households, mainly due to high interest rates over the past 3 years. To help us make sense of it all, we are joined by the man who helps to compile and put together this particular index, that is Dr. Roelof Botha. He is an economist, and as I said, he is the man who is in charge of giving us a sense of what's going on with this Household Resilience Index. Dr. Botha, greetings to you today.
Thank you.
I think a good place for us to start is, when we were getting into 2024, a year ago, there was this expectation that, okay, fine, surely, we've now properly reached the top of the interest rate hiking cycle, and things are gonna start to come down. We had similar expectations at the start of 2023, I believe, but that didn't end up materializing, and things ended up going up. But 2024, we got a little bit of that plateau. It did happen, and then we started coming down in the second half of 2024. In your index and the results for the third quarter, because that first initial interest rate decline, the first 25 basis point downwards happened in that third quarter. Does it reflect or show in any way in this particular set of results, or are those the results something that we can only start to maybe see in the fourth quarter and going onwards?
No, it certainly had a positive impact, without a shadow of doubt, because the Altron FinTech index is up year on year by 2.1%, quarter on quarter by 2%. But just for this listener's sake, just remember that's from a low base. From a very low base, so it should probably have been a little bit higher. And there's a bit of an artificial element in this particular third quarter Altron FinTech index because of the two-pot system. There are two indicators: the long-term insurance surrenders and official pension fund lump sum payments that have shot through the roof, 34% surrenders increase year on year, and that's because of the two-pot system. So what that effectively means is that a lot of thousands of consumers out there in households had access to money, and they used that money. I mean, I'm just looking at Stats SA data on retail trade sales. I don't know whether you've spotted that, Mudiwa. You can give me a call in future on the side on that on those indicators if you wish. But the category of retailers for furniture and appliances. So we're not talking about milk and bread here. This is, okay, it's not a car, but it's still, it's fairly expensive. These are semi-durable goods. That section of retailers is up in real terms in the quarter, the 3 months, September, October, November last year, compared to a year earlier, by more than 12%. So the interest rate, the 25 bips we got, which was Mickey Mouse and not enough as far as I'm concerned, that certainly had a positive impact on the index. But I must quickly quote two people. I'm well known for my criticism of the Reserve Bank's monetary policy. It's too restrictive. They're not looking at growth, and it irritates me no end. But I just want to quote Johan Gelletly, the MD of Altron FinTech. He says that The AFI and other economic indicators continue to demonstrate that lowering interest rates is essential to restore household purchasing power and stimulate growth. And then this morning, I also saw a piece by none other than Will Rich. He's the head of equities at Investec. And I quote the last part. He says, the MPC should rather focus, we expect them to focus on external unknowns, but this is at the expense, and I think this is very important. The MPC, what he essentially says, and I agree with him, their attitude is at the expense of the South African growth narrative and a consumer in desperate need of a rate cut relief. This is not me speaking. This is the head of equities at Investec. So quite frankly, we are grateful for the 25 bps it has had in September and in December. It had a positive impact. It will probably have a positive impact, without a shadow of doubt, actually, on the fourth quarter Altron FinTech Index. But it's not enough because inflation has declined at a much faster rate than the interest rate decline. So we now have the highest real interest rate in the world and in our history, 8.3%. It's crazy. When Jill Marcus, who was a colleague of mine at Gibbs, later, when she was governor of the Reserve Bank, the average real interest rate, this is not intimidating maths, Madiwa, it's simply your prime rate, which is 11.3% today, 11.25, just round it off, minus the inflation rate, which is 3%, we're at 8.3. When Jill Marcus was governor, that average was 3%. Now, I'd like to know from the listeners, if the South African real interest rate today were to go back to Jill Marcus' days, that essentially means that the prime rate would be 6%. 6%. And what would they do under those circumstances? You would still have a real prime rate of 3%. And they would start spending money and they would start buying houses and you would start seeing houses being built and you would see construction, employment increasing. And then later, as the people spend that money, you'll see employment increasing everywhere. So my question is today is, why does the MPC not understand this? Why do they not want this economy to grow? Lower interest rates and lower them pronto. That's my message. And it's a message from a growing number of economists in South Africa.
Dr. Botha, I definitely hear what you're saying, and I think the South African Reserve Bank is famous for its dovishness and, conservative approach. When it comes to monetary policy, I think the current Reserve Bank governor, his thing is about fiscal, I can't remember the words exactly, but something in the sense of fiscal responsibility. And when it comes to, maybe we can spend a little bit of time around that to say, you know, these rates are being cut and we've actually seen some accelerated cutting in other parts of the world. But in the current landscape, we had 475 basis points cumulative. We've taken 50 off, which means to get us back to, you know, before the hiking cycle begin, we would need to take off another 425. Is it prudent to take off the full 425 basis points, or is there a threshold, upon which, using whatever model you have, you know, where you can say, okay, fine, I think if we take out maybe 100, 200, then we'll get to, you know, a happier place where things can be a little bit more manageable for the consumer, but at the same time, we're not releasing too much steam into the system.
Yes, if you climb Mount Everest, as they've done proverbially, to the highest peak, which they've done with their interest rates, which was so sad. I mean, really, I'm deadly serious. Millions of South Africans would have jobs today if it had not been for this overly restrictive monetary policy of the MPC. Now we're at the top of Mount Everest. Now you want to come down. Now, I like the parallel, the analogy, because you can't just sort of get on a sled and go down, I mean, you're going to get killed because of, you know, various reasons affecting your, you have to take it easy. And that's our dilemma, that I don't mind the 25 bips as long as we know for the next, let's say, 12 months, every second month, we will have a 25 bip decline. I would rather hone in on our long-term interest rate, because your long-term interest rate, the benchmark is our 10-year government bond yield. Our long-term interest rate and our short-term interest rate, which is the repo or the prime rate, they're linked, so it doesn't really matter. But let's talk about the prime rate, because that's what people understand. That's what they pay on their mortgage bonds, prime maybe plus something or minus something. So prime is our benchmark commercial lending rate. And they have a long-term correlation, which should not deviate much. So what has happened to our long-term interest rate? I can tell you, it has declined over the last couple of months by 220 basis points. We've had a 50 basis point decline in interest rate. They are 170 basis points behind. So that's the one avenue that we can choose, which I can live with. So prime 11.3 minus another 1.7, that means it's under 10%, which is good. I can live with that. But let's use another one. What was the prime rate before COVID? Let's go back to the first quarter of 2020. South Africa's prime rate was 10%. Inflation was 5%. So we had a real prime rate of 5%. I can live with that. So if we use that as a barometer, then the real prime rate, then the prime rate in South Africa should be 5 + 3, 8%. Not 11.3. 11.3 is intimidating. It keeps your household debt cost ratio, debt cost to income, at above 9%. It was 6.7 in the beginning of 2022. And I did a quick calculation. If your household debt cost, the percentage of money that you spend on your interest on your debt, mainly mortgage bonds, credit cards, and overdrafts, as a percentage of your household income, if that had stayed at 6.7% and not moved up to 9.3, then since the beginning of 2022, the households would have had a total of 200 billion rand. I'm not joking. 200 billion rand to spend. And many, hundreds of thousands of South Africans would have had jobs. So really, I get quite excited about this, because my passion is jobs. I want people in this country to have jobs. And it's possible if we have the right economic policies and we have the right monetary policies. And we don't have that right now.
All right. I think we definitely take what you're saying and understand where you're coming from, especially that calculation of an extra 200 billion, to spend in the economy. That's actually quite sizable, because I remember when the first stats around the two-pot system, which you highlighted a few minutes ago, came out, I believe that had pumped in around 90 to 100 billion of liquidity into the economy, to what you're saying just now, that had a lot of positive results, on spend in the economy. So if we were to double that, and have that plus the effect of the two-pot, then it's possible that households would be in a much better position right now. So where we are currently standing, because we don't have too much time with you, Dr. Botha, is what's the outlook? Right now, what are some of the things that you're expecting for us to see when you guys report results for the fourth quarter, and then beyond the fourth quarter, some of the things in 2025 that you are expecting to see? We are obviously expecting that there are going to be more and more interest rate cuts, perhaps not as fast as the 170 basis points that you alluded to just now. But what's your outlook for when next time we talk about the fourth quarter and also beyond that?
It's the fourth quarter will then also include the beneficial effect of the rate cut, and lest we forget the Black Friday and Cyber Monday spending, which was apparently quite good, South Africa. So we expect the Altron FinTech Index to really get a significant boost. What still concerns me greatly is the residential property market, which is in a bit of a slump outside of the Western Cape, of course, where they know how to run municipalities and fix potholes, apparently. Maybe the other provinces can learn from them. We're hoping they can do that. But if you look at the value of billing plans passed and billings completed in South Africa, it is still way down on pre-COVID levels. And just strengthens my argument that we should have several more rate cuts. We with a bit of luck, we'll have another one in March. We should certainly have one today, and that would be good for the economy. They're a little bit too conservative as far as I'm concerned, but at least we are in a rate cutting cycle. So that's something that we should be so grateful for.
On property specifically, when you drive around cities like Johannesburg, you do see, a little bit of construction, in some of the, in some of the residential areas as well as the industrial areas. And the last time I was in Cape Town, I was also looking at and just seeing that there's, quite a bit of construction activity. And they often say in economics that if you're seeing people building, that's a good thing, right? Am I understanding you correctly to say that, yes, people are building, but we could actually be doing that at a faster rate than what we're currently seeing, just so that you are able to prop up or at least have better activity in that residential market?
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. If you look at the Better Bond index of home loan applications, it has started to move in the right direction again after a sharp decline predictably because of the high interest rates. But that needs to move north at a rapid rate of knots. We need to build houses in South Africa. Construction is by a long shot the most labor-intensive sector of the economy. Fortunately, the AFIMAT construction index has also started picking up. And the Better Bond House Price Index has also started picking up a little bit. But as you've indicated, Madiwa, it's too slow. We need to get this economy growing at 3-5%. We did that in the past when the interest rates was in real terms were significantly lower today. And that is the big trigger that we need. Hopefully, the greater cooperation between the private sector and the new government of national unity will bear fruit in future. But your private sector still has to face the highest cost of capital in 2 decades in South Africa. So once again, the interest rate, lowering interest rates a little bit faster and by larger margins, will go a hell of a long way to getting this economy back to 3-5% growth in the next couple of years.
Actually, at this point, I think it helps for us to maybe get your take on growth expectation, because whenever we get people like yourselves, on the platform, we always try to get a sense of, what's your thinking around the growth expectation. My reading at the moment is that a lot of people are sitting with an expectation of between 1.5 and 2.5%, with a midpoint of around 2%. That's the expected outlook for growth this year. Does that align with your thesis?
Yes, in my economic advice to the Optimum Investment Group, a mid-tier company that has done very well. They will also look at this one. They recently won a Citywire award with stunning returns, but it was very fortuitous circumstances as well. A lot of guys are, investment firms are doing exceptionally well. But my pitch to them is prepare for at least 2% growth this year. With a bit of luck, we may touch 3% off a low base. That's entirely possible. But I think 2026 will be a stunning year, especially if we if we can get some sense into the Monetary Policy Committee.
All right, cool. And then I think the last thing, Dr. Botha, is to say, when we're looking at the index and the results of your index, you've highlighted and called out a number of things. You know, the fact we've spent quite a bit of time talking about the impact of monetary policy on households. You've also highlighted the fact that energy, that a lot of the inflation had been caused by, cost push factors when it comes to things like your energy and, that type of thing. But that has come off because we're at over 300 days, I believe, now without, without load shedding. That's definitely a plus for, that's a plus for households. You mentioned two-pot, to say that's pumped a lot of liquidity into households. And then, you also gave us your concerns about property. Any other factors, at least on the positive side that, you think if we can move on one or two things, then that would be to the betterment of the South African household.
Yes. Listeners could also have a quick look or regularly actually at the monthly Standard & Poor's S&P Global Purchasing Managers Index for South Africa. That was recently, I think 5 months in a row, it was above 50. There's a lot of confidence in the economy. The private sector has increased their employment levels in the third quarter. According to an index, I believe the fourth quarter could be even better. There may have been quite a lot of jobs in retail because of the increased retail expenditure. So, yes, and the higher levels of real average salaries, that has picked up again a little bit, which is really good news. So certainly there are drivers out there. And once again, it's almost like a car, it has been serviced, there's enough oil, new pistons, new spark plugs. I'm talking about an old car now, and so on. But it needs a bit of petrol, and it needs somebody to push that accelerator. If I were governor of the Reserve Bank, the prime rate would be 9% and we would be growing at 5%.
So that's where we end off for today's discussion. It has been a great one, just understanding what's going on with the latest reading, of the Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index, that is the AFRI. It is a measure that is used by Altron FinTech to give a sense of, the health of the South African household, which is, probably the most important fundamental building block of the South African economy, and giving us also a sense of some of the factors that have been putting pressure on consumers over time. We've been talking and following the consumer pressure story for a long time, and Dr. Botha is a firm believer that we need more in terms of interest rate cuts and to provide relief for households, because we must have a monetary policy that is more geared towards growth. That is his thinking. And he is actually just, talking about the fact that prime could be below 10%. I think he said 9% just now. And that would probably help the economy to grow by that, 4 to 5%, doubling the current 2% expectation that we have right now. He also just, says that there have been a lot of positive elements along the way, whether we're talking about two-pot, whether we're talking about, some of those other factors, but to use his analogy, the car has gone to service, a lot of things have been replaced, spark plugs and the like, but now we need the petrol, and as far as he's concerned, that petrol is those interest rate cuts. So that's been it. We were in discussion with the Dr. Roelof Botha. He is an economist. Dr. Botha, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.